Fight!
Welcome again to New Game Plus, and I promise I'm going to get it right this time. We are a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this is episode number 24, where we are going to talk about the game Dragon Warrior, aka Dragon Quest, but let's not rush ourselves. I want us to take a moment to honor a franchise, guys, that began 20 years ago this week. In fact, this last Saturday.
It's a long time.
It marks 20 years. It began as a pair of video games for the original Game Boy, and it was developed by a company called Game Freak, published by Nintendo. And this franchise now spans video games, trading cards, animated television shows, movies, comic books, toys, and so much more. It is the second most successful and lucrative video game-based franchise in the entire world, only second to the Mario franchise. That's right, we are here today at the start of this podcast going to honor the legendary game Pokemon.
Best game. That's not true, but I love Pokemon.
It's a great game. Nolan, you grew up playing it?
I did. I received a copy of Pokemon Red when it came out and started collecting trading cards after that, and I still play it to this day.
Kenny, was it something that you spent much time playing?
No, it wasn't. I wasn't ever that kid who was a big one on that franchise. I should have been. Like, I'm absolutely nerdy enough to have collected cards and the whole thing, but didn't.
And I'm really not making a joke, but I do think it was probably like right after. Like, I don't think you were in that age, you know.
No, I think I was slightly older than
good yeah, burn,
than when it really.
No, that really pulled. Wasn't a burn. Don't make it something that it wasn't.
Good,
dude.
Like, Nolan already feels old for the game having been out that long, and then I'm too old right. to have appreciated it. Yeah. I'm kind of an old man, I know.
I played it some. I got Red, and then I think my brother got Blue, and so we were able to play both of them. Not like there is much difference between those original two, but watched some of the animated series. My wife can sing the entire theme song, so that's impressive.
Yeah, I've heard it. It's pretty good. It's not bad.
You've heard her rendition of it.
Yeah.
But obviously, a successful franchise. At the 20-year mark, they're doing a lot of huge things to celebrate that, and I just thought that it would be necessary for us to mention it. Yeah? I mean,
yeah,
retro
sure.
gaming,
yeah.
I mean, that fits. What a successful game and series.
They're announcing the next installment in the series tomorrow, I think, as of this recording.
Really?
Two new games, Sun and Moon, are the versions that have leaked, supposedly.
That will be huge.
Yes.
Crazy.
That's exciting. Well, with that, Nolan, like, are they going to have a whole new slew of like monsters, like 160 new Pokemon?
It seems like yeah, it would be a new generation,
probably.
Unless it's like a code name for a remake. But
right.
they just remade Ruby, that was third gen, so I don't see them remaking fourth.
Goodness.
Let's be real. Part of why they've done so well is because they know how to continue milking their franchise, and. merchandising and doing new things and re-releasing, and so
yeah.
they'll they'll continue that trend for as long as people
Goodness,
will let
but
them.
It has been very, very successful. There has been a lot of great monsters that they have created. You know, we've got Pikachu and Gengar, and we've even got Bulbasaur, and you know, those original starters, Squirtle and Charmander, and you've got a lot of poor monsters in there as well, but none of them are as scary and as powerful as the great Dragon Lord of Legend and of our retro video game of the week, Dragon Warrior, Dragon Quest.
Overview.
Terrible segue, but I'm glad we're talking about this game now, because...
All right, let's clear up some confusion about the title. So,
do it, Nolan.
People who listened last week know that I like this game. They're not surprised.
Okay.
Yeah, so, Nolan, why? Let's clear up the confusion.
Okay. So, Dragon Quest is the Japanese title of the game that we played this week. And it came out in 1986 in Japan, so they got this game first, called Dragon Quest. We played Dragon Warrior, which was the U.S. version that was released for the NES in 1989.
Which was wise, since we don't speak Japanese.
Yes, I would. This game would have been even harder for me if I had to play in Japanese. So some of you might say, well, I have seen Dragon Quest in the US, and that's because in 2003, Square Enix pushed for a trademark in the US so they can start calling it Dragon Quest. So all future installments to this series will be called Dragon Quest, and I believe it's retroactive. So this game, Dragon Warrior, if it's called Dragon Quest, that's still right. It's the same game.
It'll always be Dragon Warrior in my heart, but that's just because I grew up playing this game and loved it.
The reason for that title difference, funny enough, is that there was a role-playing game much like Dungeons & Dragons called Dragon Quest with no space, and I guess they were shying away from like infringing on that title or getting in trouble for that or something, but
their lawyers told them it would be wise.
So let's get into what the game is. Dragon Warrior is an RPG, and like I said, it came out on the NES, and I want to draw our attention to how old this game is. It's a very early RPG. It came out before Final Fantasy.
Yeah, it's one of the probably earliest NES games that we've played. Except maybe like ports that were on things beforehand.
Right. And so it's an RPG. At first glance, it just looks like your standard formula for an RPG. You've got your semi-top-down view of your character. You've got a world map that you can traverse. And you've got random encounter battles. These are a little unique, and we'll get into that. And you've got the graphics that you would typically see. So, like, Final Fantasy-esque graphics.
It's also kind of like, it's very similar aesthetics to the early Legend of Zelda games, I thought.
Yeah, I think the look of the art is more Zelda than it is Final Fantasy in my mind.
That's a good point, yeah.
Final Fantasy tries harder to be, like, detailed, and this stays kind of...
A little more artistic.
Yeah.
So your task is also fairly expected if you are at all familiar with RPGs, in that you've got this evil overlord called the Dragon Lord in this case, and you have to go stop him and obtain the power to do so while trying to rescue a princess. So it's very straightforward. It's the first thing that they throw at you. I mean, you start the game, and boom, the guy like explains exactly what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, there is no punches with the plot
at all. Like, just here you go. There is some backstory there, but you find out later throughout the events of the game some of that stuff. But yeah, it's an RPG. So it was developed by Chunsoft. I've never heard of them, but published by Enix. And yes, that is the Enix and Square Enix that was before they merged. And that's kind of the basis of what Dragon Warrior is.
What the creator wanted to do from you know, interviews after creating the game, he wanted to create an RPG that was focused more on storytelling and less on some of those role-playing mechanics. Games up until this point had been all about kind of like the numbers and the battle sequences and light on the story. And he wanted to create a game that was more about this deep, you know, story that developed by talking with townspeople and this unfolding and twists and turns and these kinds of things and focus less on the mechanics. And in doing so, I think he really created a unique and powerful game that obviously has a lasting significance in the realm of RPGs and Dragon Quest, you know, in a much narrower fashion, because I think there's like a dozen different Dragon Warrior, Dragon Quest games.
Oh, yeah. For sure. There's and you can feel that in this game for sure. As you pick it up, it does a really great job of kind of introducing you to what you're supposed to do and what the story is and what you're supposed to be looking through just like interactions with the game. You know, it's not like telling you these things or holding your hand. You're kind of thrust into this world, and then as you talk to people and as you explore that story in the world and the things that you have to discover kind of unfold sort of organically, and they did a really good job of folding that in.
It does say a lot that this game came out before Final Fantasy, for me at least.
It does.
I mean, it's all there. It's just, it was before Final Fantasy, so for me that was a big deal.
So let's talk about our unique experiences with the game, because I would love to know what you guys did, what kind of characters you developed, and not like you have much freedom there, but let's talk about gameplay specifics.
Gameplay.
First of all, what did you name your character? You get to name your character. You get to develop them yourselves. I know you guys invested a lot of time coming up with some brilliant names. Kenny, what name did you give your character?
It's a little sad. I normally take like character naming pretty seriously, but I was sitting down doing my first playthrough and had a friend over, and their name starts with G. And so my character this playthrough, in honor of them, was named G-Funk. So that's, I say that to my shame, but was kind of funny watching that, like, as a character's name in battles and everything.
That was a thought-out name.
I can't imagine anyone would be, like, less thoughtful than that.
Kenny.
I know.
No, but, like, I understand, like, you're wanting to, like, shout out to my friend who's here, whose name starts with a G, but his last name's not Funk, right? I mean, like,
no.
You just thought the best thing to put after his first initial is Funk?
Yeah, it's not news to everybody that I'm kind of a dork.
But I know, but I expected you to go, like, I expected you to pull up, like, a, I don't know,
would you
like
have liked
elvish...
G-Money better?
No, I thought you'd pull up an elvish, like, name dictionary online and come up with something deep and really go immersive in this game, not name your character G-Funk.
Nah.
G-Flex would have been the better thing to go together.
Disagree.
I got you,
bad
Nolan.
All the way around.
Nolan, what'd you name yourself?
Well, I named myself Nolan.
Like your character is named like the same name as you?
Like my character's name is Nolan.
That's
not
super
G-Flex.
Creative. I at least get points for effort.
I don't know. I'm kind of disappointed in both of you guys. My character's name was Sazed.
At least it's not G-Flex.
I know what that means, but none of our listeners do. So fill them in real quick.
Yeah, some of them have read the series. It's just a book series that I'm going through again. Great, great books. It's not a time to pitch different kind of media right now. Let's stick to the video games.
That's a quick book club break.
But everybody read Brandon Sanderson, though.
As soon as you create your character and give him a good quality RPG-esque name...
That you stole from a
then
book.
You're placed into a world where you talk to the king immediately, get the mission, you walk outside, and you are presented with a world map. What is unique about this world map is that there are no boundaries. You literally, you can roam anywhere from the start of the game. You can go, you can theoretically go anywhere except for the final lair, the final castle, which you can actually see within just a few steps from your starting position, which kind of is just an incredible way to like stir up immediately some you know anxiety towards what is this? How am I going to get there? And is this my final task? I mean, that's some of that. But like you can go anywhere immediately. You can cross any bridge. You can go
across any
moat.
You make it sound really, really, really big. You can't cross water. And the whole entire map is bound by an ocean, and that final area that you were talking about is on an island, which is why it can be close to you but still not be accessible. And so you see it, but have to figure out how to get there.
Right, which is you know, that's the story, which gets you to a point where you're able to cross that final boundary. But outside of that, you can theoretically go anywhere. What will keep you locked in a certain region or area for an amount of time is the difficulties of the random encounters that you'll face.
The many random encounters that you're going to face.
Lots of encounters.
The numerous, because this game is actually called Dragon Grind. It's yes. A game where you are grinding non-stop to get level after level. Like, I'm seriously thinking... Very Lonely Bunny meeting a whole new group of opposite sexed bunnies type grinding. That's the amount of grinding that I'm actually referring to here.
Dragon Quest or Dragon Grind the Grindening.
The Grindening, absolutely.
Yes.
That was good. Here's the thing. I feel like there is a lot, but I don't know that it's more than equivalent games. Like when I think back to a playthrough of the first Final Fantasy, I think there's probably as many, like, creature encounters. I feel like it feels like there's more in this game, though, because the variety of creatures is a little bit smaller, and because the fights themselves are less interactive, a lot more static. You're either like choosing to simply attack or like cast one basic spell, and so they tend to be a little bit repetitive, and so the game feels pretty grindy for sure. Like you're fighting again and again and again.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Mm.
It's wrong. but you are kind of here's what I did. Sazed kills monsters for 2 hours, and then Sazed goes and to the nearest town, buys a new weapon and a new set of armor, and then Sazed is finally able to make it to the next town without getting trounced by the random encounters. Then he slays monsters for 2 hours because he needs to go to that new town and get the upgraded weapon and get the upgraded armor. And then he goes to a cave, and then he defeats a bunch of enemies, and then he buys a new set of armor and a new weapon. And it's kind of just a wash and repeat method, which please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing. And, you know, Kenny's already kind of defending his precious baby, and which I would too if y'all were saying anything slightly negative towards a game that I absolutely love. But I'm not saying this is a negative thing. I grew up playing RPGs. RPGs are my love. Like, that's the game the kind of game that I enjoy the most. And so I'm all about a good grind every now and again.
Ha ha. Oh, yeah, me too.
but I do think that this game, it was excessively excessive. And that I feel like they did that in part because the game itself is not that long, and to lengthen the amount of game time that there actually is, they made it to where you have to grind for hours and hours and hours. Oh,
yes. Is it not that long? How long is the game?
If this had been a more typical week where we're kind of on a shortened week this week, recording a little earlier, though, you guys will all hear this at the same time, but it's one that I could have easily done a playthrough of the whole game in a week.
But like, what about me?
Yeah,
like,
you could have
someone
as well.
Who's not familiar. Really?
If you'd put in a decent amount of time.
Because it feels expansive. It feels big to me.
It's not short. Like, you'd have a hard time speedrunning the game just because, you know, to level you have to do those grindy kinds of things.
Right.
But it's not like it's crazy long.
Okay.
For me, a good RPG, through the actual story and moving you to different towns and taking you through certain caves, I think a good RPG is one that puts you in enough amount of fights that you can get the experience and the levels needed to make it through the game. It would still be difficult, but still make it through the game without a significant amount of grind. Now, if you want to completely be OP and complete everything like I would do, then it takes some grinding.
Or to even make that grinding feel intentional. They could have put more of it into a dungeon, you know, where you felt like you were making some kind of progress. And you have a few points where that's the case. But the main way you progress is just by going outside and killing lots and lots of critters. And that does feel a little repetitive.
But I'm
going to
say this, and Kenny, you tell me if you think that I'm being reasonable with this, but Nolan, I think that if you were to take out the grinding and you were able to get the levels and gold and experience needed by just moving to the towns, going through the caves and accomplishing the major objectives, I think this is a 2 to 4 hour game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
If that much.
I'd say that much, depending on your efficiency. Okay. Yeah, especially on a first playthrough, where you're like exploring dungeons and, you know, having to fight the final battle and everything.
You're not going to be able to do that because you're going to have to grind to be able to, because you're not going to be able to have the strength
you could never,
that you need.
You could never
beat.
Actually do it in that amount of time. I'm saying if you cut out all the grind.
What's worse about the grind in this game specifically is that we haven't mentioned it, but the way the battles are set up, the random encounter battles, it's always one enemy. It's like a one-on-one type of situation, but this game is heavily text-based, like menu-based, I should say, where you have like just a lot of reading to do. Like, you hurt the enemy. The enemy takes this much damage. They do this to you. And like, so that alone adds so much time to each individual battle that it's just, it gets to be so much.
It's true. I'd recommend everybody play this game. You have the option of like how fast your game.
Are we ending the episode, dude?
How fast your text scrolls. I'd recommend that everybody who is playing this game make sure that they.
That's not what you said.
I know. I was a Freudian slip.
Like, on that note, and
that's true.
Done.
But everybody play this game. No, if you're gonna play this game, make sure you set your text scroll speed to fast, because it actually will literally save
you that,
like
Kenny.
Hours of your life.
You got my phone number, dude. You could have told me that.
I didn't know about
this.
It
has been New Game Plus.
Like,
I wasted hours of your life, Nolan. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I won't play it anymore.
You've got levels. You've got HP, health points. You've got MP, magic points, gold, and experience and all of those are kind of your factors that you're trying to level up. You get at certain levels, you get magic spells, which are crucial to playing this game. Not only in battle, which some spells, you know, are able to be used in battle, if not all of them, but then some of them are going to be beneficial outside of battle. They're going to get you out of a cave quickly. They're going to get you back to town. They're going to, heal is obviously good in and outside of battle. Did you guys have a favorite spell that you tended to use often?
Sleep. I use sleep in battle because it helped me out against many enemies, but one specifically is called a magician, and I found them pretty annoying. But sleep is a really good offense against battling them, so that made at least those battles and some other ones a little easier for me because I was under. Equipped. I didn't have any. I didn't have many items like good right. weapons and stuff.
You don't get it until later in the game, but there's a spell just called Return that will literally just take you back to town. And I love it just because it's a big time saver.
See.
Yeah, you get back to the beginning where you can save your game and top off your character and all the like functional things you need to do without trudging all the way back through this whole map and having to kill a bunch of little critters and be annoyed. So. I was always really glad when I got to that point.
Right. When we didn't even mention that you can only save at one point in this entire video game. You have to always go back to the castle that you started in and talk to the king, and then he will record your data. That's the only place to save. So unless you've got that spell at the end of your playtime or before you fight a serious boss or whatever it might be, you're going to be walking all the way back to that castle. You can't save in towns and you can't save on the world map. You've got to go back to that specific castle, which is somewhat of a hassle. But at least they had a save function because I think early on, in the Japan version, you just had, what was it, like codes that you put in?
It's like passwords, like in Mega passwords, Man, where you would have, you put in a certain password, it will remember where you were. So that's even more annoying.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about how this game's aged.
Aged.
I think that this game has aged, I don't want to say poorly. I think it's aged poorly.
Kenny can hear you.
Huh? Oh yeah, he can.
Kenny can hear you.
So. True. I know.
I know what I'm getting into here, but I stand by what I'm saying. It's definitely an origin for a lot of the RPG elements that we're familiar with today. Like even in the recent games, and then in old Final Fantasy games. Like I said earlier, the formula for the RPG is there. And it was there before Final Fantasy, what I'm familiar with. When I think of RPG, I think of Final Fantasy. So, like, I like that. I like that I was able to experience that. But just the difficulty, which we've already said was in large part the amount of grinding you have to do to be viable, to continue in the game, along with just some of the aged music I think the game... aged kind of bad.
Yeah. Now, in my opinion, it's good music. It's just redundant, like repetitious. So, like over and over again, you're hearing the same song, especially in the grind. It's good music, but you hear it the same thing for 2 hours, at a time.
Yeah, I wrote in my notes, it was 8-bit music that was very retro, and I felt like the most retro I've felt playing a game on this podcast. But it was also 8-bit music that was very retro, but also the most annoying music I've ever listened to on this podcast.
But then you get that moment where and you know you've leveled up.
Yeah, that's
and you get hyped and it's totally great.
Yeah, but that every 45 minutes to an hour
to break up the one monotonous tune. Yeah.
Right. Okay, so for me, I think it has aged. I agree with Nolan in some parts. I can appreciate a lot of things about it. For example, we didn't even mention, but it's got this kind of like old English dialect, like this kind of romantic, really fantasaical, you know, these and thys and
good word,
you know, that whole kind of thing. And so I appreciate that. I could see where that would turn some people off. I liked it. I loved the sprites. I thought it was pretty and colorful and bright. The story is even great. You know, there's not much depth to it, but I enjoy it. The mechanics for me, kind of that gameplay, is where it felt really old. I think for me, where it's aged significantly is in that one thing. I think in so many other areas, like even the music, I think that's somewhat doable. But for me, it was that grind. Not even a part of the story. Like I'm not traveling somewhere. I'm walking around this town in a circle, you know, for literally 2 hours, grinding out the same four monsters over and over again to get enough experience to level up and to get enough money to purchase the gear that I need. So I think that's where it felt most old. But let me say that there's been a remake in recent years where I believe they combined Dragon Warrior 1 and 2 together into one release. They updated the graphics, but one of the main things they did is increase the amount of experience and gold that is offered from killing each and every monster, which completely makes it feel less grindy than it did in this original NES release.
Yeah, so which was probably wise.
I think if you want to play this game and you want to kind of bypass that, what I feel to be the most cause of it being aged, then pick up this remake and it will kind of streamline some of that experience for you. Kenny, how do you feel with its with its age?
I realize I have kind of rose-colored glasses on this one because I spent at least one entire summer of my childhood trying to get through this game and probably only made it a third of the way through. Remember, this is like a 12-hour gameplay game total if you're actually doing it right, but kids are generally dumb and bad at things. just
all the kids I live by that.
Relative to adults. Yeah, we lost all of our under 13 viewers with that comment. I love this game a lot. I've got lots of really, really fond memories of it, and so having to sort of separate those from thinking about it like accurately and analytically is kind of tough, but I would agree with both of you to some degree. I would say it's aged pretty well, but not perfectly. Definitely has a lot more just rote, repetitious kinds of moments than it needs to. But there's still some really cool story. There's still some really classic RPG elements. It's still a pretty game. It's a game you can pick up and learn how to play, and that sort of self-teaches the story and what your goals are. And so you don't have to, you know, have anything but you and a controller in the game to kind of figure it out. Enough so that some of its charm is even in sort of making some discoveries about how they did things in the game, that if people did go back and play this game, I would suggest that they do it without like guides and such, because some of that discovery is the charm of the game to me. But I would say it's aged well, but is definitely an older game. It is one that you need to go into assuming that you are going to be playing a retro game and that you're going to need to put a little bit of time into to get through some of those story elements.
The final shell shock.
All right, men, it's time to make the decision. Do you give it our NGP seal of approval? Meaning, would you encourage our viewers to go and pick this game up again, find it on Steam, whatever, and play it? Or would you say, man, it's a fun game, there's lots of charm to this game, but let's leave it in the past?
I'm not going to give it my new game plus. The charm is there. I do like the graphics. They're very bright. They're not like the dark and dreary style graphics that sometimes you see in an adventure game or a game about dragons, I guess. It's definitely, you can definitely see the Zelda now that you guys have said that. It's, I totally see that. And I like that I can appreciate where RPGs originated, how, and I like that I can see how they've developed since this game and how many elements have stayed in the genre. But it feels way too old to me because of the difficulty. And I feel like Final Fantasy just did everything better. So if I was going to give a new game plus or tell someone to go pick up a game, I would tell them to pick up Final Fantasy 1 probably.
All right. So you do not give Dragon Warrior your new game plus seal of approval?
No.
Kenny, do you want to go next?
Yeah, I'll jump in. Unsurprisingly to everybody, I do. Not just because of sort of fond initial memories of it, but just because I think it's a game worth playing. I'd say it probably needs to be said that I have a little bit of reservations about saying anybody should pick it up and play it, but for anybody who's a fan of that genre and who is okay with a longer game, or slightly longer game, not especially so, and a game that really does truly feel retro. You know, if you're okay with fights that are navigating some menus and not necessarily being crazy interactive, and you're okay with a game that's simple but quality and great story and those kind of things, then it's absolutely worth playing. So
I would, yeah, I'm actually going to give it my new game plus seal of approval because I think it's got so much charm. I think there's so much good to it that the hangup, although it's somewhat severe, can be resolved by simply playing the remake of it. And I didn't play the remake. I watched actually one of our viewers, Antonin, he streamed some of his gameplay experience with Dragon Warrior this week, played the remake, and it looked good. It seemed like it felt good. It sounded good. And that bonus of increasing the amount of experience and gold, I think, will make it less grindy. I really feel like that was the major hangup for me and would be the major hangup for a lot of players coming into it. But I think that can be resolved by playing that remaked version of it. So I would give it my new game plus seal of approval with the caveat, play the remake, and I think you'll have a lot of fun doing so. We want to read a couple of emails that came into us over the week from some of our viewers in regards to this game. The first one being from Antonin, who I just mentioned. He said, "Hey guys, I enjoyed many aspects of what little Dragon Warrior I played, namely that it did not hold your hand on your quest, nor did it throw you into an indecipherable world. As a player, I had to learn what needed to be done by talking to people, whether it was information about how to use a torch to light up a cave, how bridges between continents signify an increased difficulty, or where a great hero's memorial resides." Interesting. "Learning about the DW world felt natural. Every town and every person added some kind of detail and could be practically used, and I enjoyed that aspect of it. I hope you guys enjoyed it, and I can't wait to see what game will come up next."
Yeah, I think he's right. It really was one of the best things the game did.
There really was so much talking in this game, though, like, now that he says that.
And there's tons of dialogue.
The headed menus that you have to go through to, like, to talk to someone, you have to... I guess you could just hit A twice since it's the first option on the menu, but still, it's just an extra step.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot of work. It was not a lot of work. But you please, can't you whine know, about it.
Listen, you click A the first time, and then you've got your menu that comes up that's got like 8 different things you can do. Talk, doors, stairs, inventory, magic, you know.
Status.
I mean, so many different things. And so it's just, I understand there's a lot of text, and that could definitely bog some people down. But he's not the only one. We got another email from Andrew. He wrote in and he said, "I haven't gotten to play a lot of the game, maybe only a couple of hours, but there were a few things that stuck out to me. I'm a big Fire Emblem fan, so I'm used to games Woo. Full of scrolling text dialogue, but the old Englishy language that they use in this game makes it particularly difficult to read through dialogue naturally. and that kind of breaks the immersion a little bit, for me at least. The combat is nice, kind of Pokemon-like, but I was expecting more clarity or explanation when it came to damage, hit percentage, crit chance, and other in-fight stats like that, since it is an RPG. I also think the banking system is pretty interesting, but I haven't used it, and I doubt that I will. Overall, with my short time with the game, it has been pretty interesting. I'm going to continue playing it for a while, just wandering around the world map, completely lost and unaware of what I should actually be doing.
I feel you.
I mean, it doesn't hold your hand. Like, it puts you out in the world and it says, figure it out. Talk to people, read things, and figure out what in the world to do. And if you go too far, you're going to die.
It's that discovery process, though, that's so fun in my mind, and that I think they do so well. Right. That's what's enjoyable about
this game. I'm okay with that until I find myself traveling a long time thinking I'm doing great past this poison pit. Get in a cave that's pitch black, and I don't have a torch.
Because you didn't talk to the guy in town that tells you you gotta have the torch.
But even if you have a torch, it doesn't do too much for you. It gives you a little bit of light around you, and it fades quickly. But later on, around level 10, you actually get a spell called Radiant that is better. It gives you more radius than the torch in caves, and it lasts longer. So that's obviously beneficial.
Yeah, those torches do not help me.
It was a fun game. I'm glad we got to play it. Guys, thank you for the two of you that wrote in and for the others that played it along with us and just kind of enjoy your passive listening. That's completely viable. I'm glad that you guys are on the journey with us. But it's time to actually select a new game for a new week. And we're always excited about this. So we have a Retro Master list that is incomplete that you guys add to it almost daily. We had probably 5 or 8 different games that were suggested to us this week alone that we have added to the Retro Master list. You can find that link on our social media. And from there, we're going to randomly select a new game for the next week. The game that we're going to be playing for the next week in preparation for our upcoming 25th episode is called Super Godzilla.
What?
It is interesting. It's a 1993 Super Nintendo release. I enjoy it a lot, actually. It's kind of a puzzle game.
Really?
I mean, you'll get a hang of it very quickly. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. You're having to navigate the streets. I don't want to give it all away. Okay. You're going to play this week. We'll talk about it next week. It's a really exciting game. So pick up Super Godzilla. Play it with us, guys. It should be an easy game to get a hold of, and we would love to hear your feedback. Nolan, would you mind telling our viewers how appreciative of them we are?
Of course. Viewers, thank you for your continued support. It's always cool to see what you guys thought about the games that you play along with us. Antonin, awesome that you streamed. We would love to see that some more. And anytime that you guys want to write in, feel free, and we will talk about it on the podcast.
Kenny, you want to tell these men, these women, these boys, these girls, how they could actually find us this week and connect with us?
Absolutely. Check us out on ngppodcast.com, your service of choice in terms of where you actually go to get your podcasts, or on social media @ /or.,  whatever, NGP podcast.
Yeah. We'd love to get some emails from you as well. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud. Rate, review if you enjoyed listening to this. Next episode, we will be discussing our time spent with the wonderful game Super Godzilla. Until then, I'm Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
And I'm G-Flex.
And this has been New Game Plus.